When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning. It is Tuesday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out with you on this very day. Monday night.
Before we go, I got to ask you a question because Mike and I had this conversation earlier, and I want to ask you, has the cold stunted you so far?
Yes, I'm not built for this.
Because...
at all.
I feel like we had such a long fall, summer, right? I mean, literally last Monday when we had the brown grass, it was 70 degrees outside, Tiff.
You're right.
And sunny. And then the rain came in, and all of a sudden it got cold. There's been things for the last, right at 7 days now, that I need to do outside that I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Can't do it.
I go to do it, and I'm like, yeah, not doing it.
Went to walk the dog yesterday, and I'm like, man, it's cold. Like, the wind was hitting my head. I'm looking around. Everyone's got toboggans on, which I'm wearing one today.
Yeah, you are. I like it. A little fur at the top.
Thank you. And then I was realizing, I checked the temperature, and I'm like, oh, it's 37. Now this morning, it's 32. So, no, I'm not built for this at all.
I dripped the faucets last night myself, just to make sure, because I've had frozen pipe problems in the past that have not gone well for me, so I dripped them last night. It's definitely cold, man. I was supposed to actually get out front and do some more Christmas lights yesterday. I got the blow-ups up, and I was going to do some more lights around the trees. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. But my hands will be numb in a matter of 5 minutes. I don't mean to be a Scrooge, but like that just was not going to happen yesterday.
Yeah, I put the socks and the little cover over the outdoor faucets. But like remember the person that iced me at the tournament? The realtor.
You got iced.
I got iced at the tournament as we came up to a hole. Their son made these little Christmas like crosses with lights around them and stuff, and Amy ordered one, and it just sat there for a week because I didn't want to go outside and take the effort to plug it in and put it in the ground a little bit. I had to force myself yesterday after our show call to do it.
I don't blame you. I don't want to be outside until it warms up before I do any outside activities. And warming up today is going to be, I think, 43.
Yeah. And normally in the past, I don't know what it is with me. The past, it's not been like normal in the past. I've been like, whatever, go ahead and get in it because then you'll adapt quickly. And then the rest of the year, you're like, oh, it's not that bad. This year, I've just not wanted to do it. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I know. I think it's just it's a slow adjustment, man. It's just cold outside. You got to get those remote starts going, right? And getting that car cranked up early in the morning. I'm like, dude, I can't get in this car when it's fully cold. Got to go out and crank it up and let it warm up before I walk out there this time of year.
Okay,
is it possible
you're
remembering wrong? Like, just in general, this would be a whole other topic to get to, but you always think about, oh, man, it used to be like this. But maybe it never was. Maybe... It's always been like the cold just hits, but I don't know. I don't know.
That part maybe.
Just a random thought.
I know used to because I for many years I did work outside, so I didn't have a chance to not say. I just had to. It was adapt or you know, or
maybe it's been more of a gradual build. Like we've had, maybe there were more mornings where it was, I don't know,
crisp.
Cold and crisp, not 32 degrees. So.
Yeah, it just feels like it hit us in the face this year. But you know, whatever. At least it waited until after my golf tournament. Selfishly,
I was gonna say, shout out to all the people working outside these days, man. If your job is outside.
Yeah, I feel
shout out
right
to
now.
You, man, because that's tough stuff. So hopefully you're finding a way to keep warm.
And they don't have a chance. They just have to.
Yeah,
just
hit
them.
Saying.
And you have to move on. So like, I do have a lot of respect for those people.
Living the dream right here in this warm studio.
Yeah.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right, Monday Night Football, I would say, did not disappoint. You had the Browns. You had the Broncos. We saw some glimpses of old Jameis in there, which ended up really costing them the game in the end. But the Broncos winning this one 41-32. So Bo Nix still making his case there in the mix for Offensive Rookie of the Year, would you say?
Yeah, it's him and Jaden Daniels in that mix, I think. They've both been phenomenal, but Bo Nix is literally growing up.
That's why I think it's cool. Sorry to cut you off, but like it's been a gradual, because he didn't start off the season the way he's playing now.
Oh, they
it's
showed
been
the
like
graphic.
A gradual build from the interceptions to how he's playing now. He's
they showed
learned.
The graphic last night, Tiff, to your point. I think it was one touchdown in the first four games, and since then, and obviously the Falcons are a big part of that, turned it around.
Yeah, how long ago was it when he was called he was called Ferris Bueller by Sean Payton?
And, oh yeah, I forget. Might have been like week four, or week three. I don't know.
And now I heard somebody, I saw somebody said that they kind of compared him to the way he is playing in the pot. They're not saying he's this guy and he's going to be this guy, but just the
command of the pocket, his presence.
Is like Drew Brees-esque, and he kind of reminds him of what Sean Payton did with Drew. But of course, Drew Brees had his breakout year, I think a year before going to team up with Sean Payton. But Jameis Winston looks like I wanted to know where Jameis Winston was on the career pick sixes, and since 1950, they've been keeping the pick six stat. Would you believe that the top five guys in pick sixes are Brett Favre, Matthew Stafford, Dan Marino, Joe Namath, Drew Brees, tied with Peyton Manning?
Favre, I would believe.
Like, I'm just Peyton. Praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Peyton Manning, I would not I would not have pegged him to be on that list.
I think it's one of those things where, you know, I don't know this, but I know that, you know, you get guys like Nolan Ryan and Roger Clemens that are at the top of the list in bad categories, and you're just like, they just played forever, dude. Played like 20 years, so like they're going to lead in some kind, you know, walks or whatever. They were going to be up there at some point in some of those bad categories. And look, Jameis threw the ball 58 times last night, dude. Like it, and I understand what they were, you know, what they were doing. But I swear that I watched this game for what felt like a quarter and a half between times that I was watching the Hawks last night, and I did not see one run play from the Browns. Like, not one. And I know they ran it, you know, 15, 16, whatever times. I know that Nick Chubb had his carries. Ford had his carries. But I was watching it for an extended stretch and did not see a run play. And I was like, dude, they are just airing this thing out. 58 attempts is a massive number, and that's why you lead. You know, that's why you lead to almost 500 passing yards.
Well, if you take away the interceptions, it was working for them. Jameis had, like you said, it was almost 500 passing yards. He had 497, but within that, he became the first quarterback, I believe, to throw for 450 plus, and then have two pick sixes in a game. I know where all these stats come from, but that's still crazy that you toss for that many yards, but then the pick sixes. Kind of more that, and unfortunately, it did cost them in the end.
Well, like, I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
Well, you better pray harder, Jameis. I don't know. Maybe you need a prayer circle to help you with that. It's what's funny about it, to your point, is when we think about 500 yard passing days. Remember when Matt Ryan did against the Panthers? I don't think he had maybe any picks, maybe one.
But the pick sixes is so.
It's so rare. I mean, he was throwing touchdown passes to everybody. He was Oprah last night. You get a touchdown pass, and you get
him and Jerry Jeudy.
I mean, he threw four, and then two more if you count the pick sixes. So he was all over the place. The Bo Nix, you look at his stat line, and it kind of looks pedestrian in the touchdown pass department and even the yardage compared to what Jameis did. But then the interceptions, Jameis had one more, he had two pick sixes. The throw to Mims, which went for, what, 90-something yards, was a phenomenal throw.
Yeah, unbelievable, seeding it between the safeties back there on the back end. And also, one of Nix's interceptions, a deflected ball that kind of pops up straight in the air. It's not a great throw, but it wasn't as bad as some of the things that Jameis did. I mentioned this to Bo this morning when we walked in. There was like six straight passes that Jameis threw last night where they looked like they were about to be deflected or were deflected or were intercepted. Like, it was like he was threading the needle, and he was walking that fine line a number of times throughout the second quarter. And I was like, man, this is going to jump up and bite him at some point. And it did. And he has always been that guy that doesn't mind taking risk on a football field. But you could tell a number of times, especially in postgame, you just heard from him. It got to him last night, man. It got to Jameis last night.
Is that the when you're in college, you can get away with that throw because of, you know, you're not playing against the best of the best of the best. And then when you go to the NFL, you can no longer get away with that because they've seen it on film. They've watched it. They're also better athletes. They're better players in general.
Are you talking about
with Jameis's picks?
But it's kind of he's been in the league for how long?
I know, but he's never changed. Like, that's the point kind of it is, yeah, that some guys figure it out that. And I don't even know. I know Jameis knows it. It's not like he hasn't figured it out. But when he gets in that moment, he still trusts his athletic ability and his arm strength and his talent more than the guy that's going to make the play. And those guys are making the plays, and he's never just said, I can't do that, I got to stop it. He just keeps doing it. It's part of why we, you know, is in general, he's kind of a he's almost like a...
He's the most entertaining man in sports right now.
He's kind of like a cult classic movie. You know, the cult classic movie that is generally thought of as bad, but you love it because it's so bad it's fun. That's kind of how Jameis is, because he's fun to watch if it's not your guy.
You never know what's going to happen.
If it's not your guy, he's fun to watch. He's going to throw it to everybody.
When we come back, was what we saw from the Falcons defense this past week a sign of what's to come? We'll discuss, and we'll get you caught up on the Hawks here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trae Young gets another rebound. Trae's going to lead the break. Trae's going down the lane. Alley-oop, and it's jammed in by Jalen Johnson. And it's 124 to 112.
Steve Holman on the call of a Hawks win over the Pelicans, 124 to 112. And they have now won 4 straight. Hopefully they can make it 5 when they get the Bucks tomorrow.
Yeah, look, I said in the handoff, Jeff, DeAndre Hunter has had 4 straight games where he has been, not himself.
Come on, bro. Whoa. You ain't gonna do that to my guy.
He's dropped 26, 23, 18, and 22.
That sounded very condescending.
Well, he's a guy that has struggled to be consistent, and he has been pretty good in a 4-game stretch. He's not playing as many minutes as he's had to in the past. I think that he hasn't gotten acknowledgement for how he's been used in the past. And what I mean is that he's been a guy, because he came out of college as considered
lockdown,
could be an elite defender in the league. And I think at times he's drawn more than not the best player on the other team having to kind of play defense. And with him, you know, kind of sharing time with Risha Shea, so to speak, It's kind of, maybe he's got a little more bounce in his step throughout the game.
Yeah.
And it's showing on the offensive end. It makes this team so much deeper to have him coming off the bench and playing at this level. And I think that is a big credit to some of the success they've had.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think that when you look at their minutes, Risha Shea obviously starting, and DeAndre Hunter getting those 28 minutes, though, more minutes than Risha Shea. I think it's been really healthy for them.
Yeah, here's Trae Young talking about his teammate, DeAndre Hunter.
And he's taking great shots. Nothing is forced. He's just playing the right way. And, I mean, for him to come out here, I mean, on his birthday, he could have took 20, 30 shots, and we would have been all right with it. But for him to only come out here, still be efficient, play the right way, play defense, I mean, that was a hell of a game from Trae.
Can I give
Willie's birthday?
Trae Young is, yeah, right. Can I give Trae Young his flowers just a second as well? Because Trae Young's not shooting the ball well. Just point blank. He's not shooting the ball well, hasn't been shooting the ball well. This team has kind of won despite what Trae Young's been able to do shooting. And Trae Young, multiple times last night, he understood that. Like a couple of times last night, he pulled up in what would have normally been a transition 3-point opportunity and dishes it off to guys around him, because he's like, dude, I'm not shooting well right now. And those buckets will start falling. They did really kind of towards the end of the game, second half, fourth quarter, started shooting more shots and getting more shots. But I think he understands at this point what his role is for this team, and it's a beautiful thing to watch.
That being said, he had 12 points for 15 assists, so that's his 15th double-double of the season, but he was dishing it out quite well.
Yeah, when Trae Young is shooting 5 of 16 from the field, including – you know, only hitting 2 from beyond the arc, and he's still a plus 20, and the team wins by 12 points. That's a really good sign for the team, not for an individual, but for the team. And you look at Jalen Johnson, who is giving you, what, 32 minutes, dude, is playing well. Dyson Daniels.
That left-handed dunk that Jalen had last night. Oh.
Jalen Johnson is coming into a very, you know, kind of a fun two-way player to watch in a lot of ways. It just feels right now, and you finally kind of gotten healthy, knock on wood. Dylan, stand up, go over there, knock on that door.
I was going to say, dude, because, why do you always do this?
Because you've got, look.
You're like Turtle with his Falcons tweets, man.
All right,
like,
nothing's as bad as that.
That's
so
what
just
you just
pipe
felt
down.
Like to me,
no,
man.
Just, no,
like,
but
why are you the way that you
twice.
Are?
He knocked twice. Is that allowed? Does that cancel
yeah.
out?
Yeah, no.
But he did 2 different hands.
Okay, well, you only need to do 1 hand, so don't screw that up. But I'm saying, I look through this team. You got Okongwu, Hunter, Bogey, and Kobe Bufkin, all guys that got in last night. We didn't have Kobe Buffin. We didn't have Bogey to start the season. You know, you had a stretch where we had missed another guy too. Was it Capella or Kanye?
You were running out Garrison Matthews.
Yeah.
David Roddy's had good minutes this year.
Yeah.
Obviously,
DeAndre
shout out to my guy Veet that was playing a ton of minutes to start the year. So.
I'm glad we don't, you know, we can be a DMP and we don't have to worry about it. That's the reality is you were not healthy to start this season, and you finally got healthy. That's not near as bad as some of the ridiculous tweets that come from people like Turtle. So don't even say that.
I'm saying you're jinxing the
injury
thing.
I'm not jinxing. I'm bragging. Want me to talk good about the team I brag about, and you get mad at me.
No, that's
– I don't understand.
How is that a brag? Saying I hope they don't get hurt.
No, I'm saying I hope it stays this way. They're healthy. They're playing well.
Let's keep the main thing for 1 second before we move on. Last night – Jerry Jeudy goes off in his return to Denver, right? You did not see that with DJ Murray coming to Atlanta. Like DeJounte with his 7 points in his 38 minutes, a lot of that because of the guy that was involved in that trade with him, Dyson Daniels, being lined up on him at the start of the game. So it was a good night. You had to get this win. New Orleans is not very good, but at times in the first half, it didn't think you'd be able to pull it off. And in the second half, you pull away like you should have all along.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Right, the Falcons get the Vikings this weekend, but they are coming off a loss to the Chargers, a game in which we saw the defense make really big strides. 5 sacks in the game when they were coming in with a season low of 10. We talked a bit about that yesterday. We can still talk about it today, but I also want to give you this quote from Justin Simmons, the Falcons safety. He said, obviously, the number one thing everyone talks about is the sacks, and those showed up big time for us. Those guys played their tails off, and we covered really well. So the secondary doing their job within this.
Yeah, I thought you had a couple of guys, including Clark Phillips, that played pretty well. A.J. Terrell had some big moments, too, knocking some balls away, playing through some screens and stuff. Did I see right, and Mike, I'll ask you because you were able to watch a little bit more film than me. I felt like in the secondary, we didn't quite play as far off as we have earlier in the season. Now, I don't think we changed coverage. I don't think you went out there and was suddenly playing like 85% man when you've been like 85% zone and like a cover three, right, or whatever. But it felt like they maybe were closer to the line of scrimmage. Was I wrong on that?
I think they were, and I don't know if they were closer, you know, down in and down out. I noticed certain personnel packages, certain matchups where you were kind of tight on the outside. Now, it's not that they haven't done that in the past, but a lot of times when they have been in that cover three look, they've had that kind of 8-yard cushion, and then you see the corner start to bail into their deep third. I think that they just started those deep third kind of bail positions a little bit tighter. Now, to your point, most of what I've seen has been on the TV copy. I think the All-22 came out this morning, so we'll go back and kind of rewatch that and dive into it a little bit deeper. But I think situationally there was tighter coverage, and I think if nothing else, that makes the opposing quarterback at least rethink what he's seeing, right? You've seen it on film. You're like, hey, they're playing off. Now all of a sudden they're playing tight. They're not in man. They're bailing. They're doing different things. And I think that's one of the biggest things. It's not simply how you do it, but just what the quarterback is looking at pre-snap. It seems like we don't move much pre-snap, you know, as compared to other defenses in the NFL. And I think they did a much better job coming off the bye week of moving around, giving different looks, and really causing Justin Herbert to kind of second guess what he's looking at.
So now, is this a sign then of what's to come for this defense? How can they build off of this performance?
Well, I hope it is, because I hope that this is the adjustment that they've made. And I know that some people don't believe in adjustments. Some people overbelieve in adjustments. But to the point of, is you're going to play Sam Darnold. You're going to probably play Aiden O'Connell, I think, in the next 2 games. And if that's...
Don't count out D-Ready.
Well, I don't think they want to play him.
And yeah. They're not trying to just rush him out there. You want to give him time. That's what the hope is.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't want to play. I don't want to play him because it just
– I know.
It just,
I know.
I just don't even – I don't even want to go.
I feel the same way.
It's that whole – that's where the Atlanta-itis as a sports fan comes in, because you're like, oh, yeah, he'll go off on
us. Can't be blamed.
But I hope so, because if you can make these guys – and I don't know. I'm curious of what we do, because you're playing an elite receiving core this week. Justin Jefferson. You got Jordan Addison, who I'm pretty positive is healthy coming in. It's Hockenson, the tight end. So maybe, but if you could make Sam Darnold hold the ball just a tick longer, you see now that guys like AK are starting to get there. Caden Ellis and Grady Jarrett, the other guy, whatever. But those three guys showed that they could get there with a tick longer. So if you could just do that and trust, maybe you get Mike Hughes back and you trust AJ and you look, Justin Jefferson is going to get his, but can you still make enough plays to get Sam Darnold to throw them into third and second longs? They also were better in the run defense. And I don't think we've even talked about the fact. I know they didn't have J.K. Dobbins, but it doesn't seem like it's mattered, guys, who they've played at running back. We've been gashed. They were able to shut that down some.
Yeah. I just think and going back and looking at Arnold Bacady's pressures, his quarterback hits, you have to give credit to the interior. And I mentioned it yesterday. Grady Jarrett looked refreshed. He looked like a guy that's the 10-year vet coming off an ACL that needed a bye week. And you look at the first sack that Ebukadi had, the second one that he had where it's, where Herbert gets flushed and he's able to chase him down. He got flushed because of interior pressure. You look at the quarterback hit he had where Herbert couldn't step up in the middle of the pocket. They run the twist game and Ebukadi comes through the A-gap. That's because the twist game was good because the guy running the penetrator role in the twist game was good and got pushed. And he can wrap really tightly. So they all have to play off of one another and do it a lot better. And they definitely took a step forward this weekend.
Ohio State loss. Georgia went toe-to-toe with Georgia Tech, came out on top. The college football playoff rankings come out tonight. Where will these teams fall? We'll take our best shot at it next here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Diving in some college football here on the... I'm so sorry. I saw something, and there's a random thing talking about how you know your sisters, and I saw this on the interwebs. And it talked about you would kill for your sister, but you've also, been in some knockdown, drag-out fights. Anyway, it was still lingering in my head, and I thought about the time we had a really bad brawl when we were growing up.
How old were you?
An actual fight?
An actual fight.
Oh, yeah.
Age?
And this particular meme was saying, you would kill for your sister, but you've also, probably thrown an object at her before. And so it was going through all the objects that people have thrown at their sisters.
Oh no! I want to know what you threw at yours.
I believe it was a Paul Mitchell shampoo bottle back in the day.
Oh yeah,
was it? You know how big those things were?
That's too expensive to throw.
We're talking.
They're massive. Anyway,
KO'd right there.
Sorry. So that's my head. She also split my ear.
What?
And I had to. I look like Mike Tyson, Vinny Vander Holyfield.
Oh my gosh!
I had a gash at the top of my ear that I had to wear the bandage This would have been, I was living in Georgia then, so sixth to seventh grade. Yeah.
Wow, so you guys were basically teenagers.
Sisters were, yeah. Anyway, back to college football. Excuse me for the giggles. All right, the AP Top 25 poll. We have Oregon at 1, Texas at 2, Penn State at 3, Notre Dame at 4, Georgia sits at 5, Tennessee 6, Ohio State 7, SMU 8, Indiana 9, Boise State 10, and Alabama at 11. Arizona State 10-2 on the season. They sitting at 12 with the playoff rankings, of course, coming out tonight. But that, again, was the AP poll, top 25.
Has the AP lost its luster for you? Because I've been looking at the AP, obviously thinking about talking it, and I've been kind of just staring at it going, I'm not sure that it matters where any of these teams are in the AP poll, right?
Well, it's sports writers with bias in some ways. I don't think all of them are biased, but I think that there's a lot of ones that aren't necessarily national that vote based on, bias. Why did Georgia fall so far when they lost to Ole Miss, but Ohio State didn't? When Georgia lost on the road to a better team and Ohio State lost at home to a worse team.
Right.
That's reason I ask questions like that. And my point is that certain teams in this always fall further and certain teams don't. Now, Georgia's been a team, honestly, that hasn't fallen as far in recent times.
Yeah.
But this time they did. Why? Is it because the AP and some of the writers are trying to control in their own mind how teams are viewed so conferences get less in? Is that a part of it?
Of 100%. Tiff, Where did you say Miami was at in that AP right now? I don't have it in front of me.
Miami, they're at 14. I didn't go that high, okay. So Miami's at 14.
I don't know, man. I just have a ton of questions.
Does that make sense? Like, what I mean, I'm not trying to start trouble, but I do think that some of the sports writers are trying to limit in their mind if they can where they rank teams, sees right. How they're viewed, how the wins are viewed early and later in the season, and so it can limit conferences for how many they get in.
No, I completely agree.
I did, and I know you're probably gonna don't come at me, but when I emceed an event for the college football playoff press event. Because we know that the championship game is going to be here in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I did have up on that panel was Rich Clark, the executive director of the college football playoff. And he did say the eye test. He said one of the that was the first thing that came out of his mouth in getting into how they decide, how these voters are deciding where a team lands. And he said the eye test.
Well, you know how I feel about the eye test.
I know.
Whose eyes are it? But the thing I would say to that is – what is one of the things the eye test I feel like most people base it on is who do they play? How do they play them? And a lot of that starts with how good is a team viewed when teams play them? And Abe and I talked about this on Friday is that in college football, it's always mattered who you play and when you play them, right? The NFL, it's will they beat Denver? It doesn't matter that Denver beat us. It doesn't matter that Denver was, it matters the fact what Denver's record is. But in college football, it's like Georgia beat Texas when Texas was undefeated, and that's how they were viewed as a number one team in the country, not the number two or three. And even like you look at like Alabama, a lot of people are going to view the Alabama's win against South Carolina, and they're going to say, well, South Carolina wasn't the same team then; they've gotten better. So that's why I feel like. That's a little bit of a, and I'm not coming at you, Tiff.
No.
But that's a little bit of a ridiculous statement by them because, well, how are you gauging this eye test?
I don't mind the eye test comment. I really don't. And that's because to me, this is the reason we have a committee is for the eye test, for different points of view, for different opinions, for different, like too many times in college football. And I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to look at it, but too many times in college football, do we let, the common sense thing kind of go out the window and we look too much at red tape. I don't want them to get caught up in red tape. I don't want these criteria. I understand the NFL argument of, hey, this team beat that team. There's a playoff. They get seeded, this, that. But there's 130-plus D1 football teams, and I think you have to have some of the vision, some of the eye tests included in that. Is it a broken system? Probably. Are we talking about the 12 seed this year, much like we did the 4 last year? Yeah, but I until a 12 seed goes out and wins the national title, I don't really think it matters. And that's not me arguing for Bama in, because I don't even know that I want Bama in the playoff at this point. I know that's probably sacrilege to some, Bama fans, but it's like, if South Carolina gets in, fine. If Ole Miss gets in, fine. If there's an extra ACC team, fine. I don't want to get so caught up in rules and saying, well, this is a criteria and that's a criteria. Let's get all these people in the room, just like we have in a committee. You get different opinions, different points of views, and let's try to select what we think is the 12 best. If your team's not included in that, I'm sorry.
Well, head
and
to
I
head
say
head
that as a team with a guy with a team on the bubble.
But head to head has to matter. It has to matter.
I agree.
But head-to-head only matters these days if it's the same amount of losses.
Well, in Alabama and South Carolina's instance, it is. And I'm a big fan of South Carolina. I think they might be one of the hottest teams in the country. Right. But the reality is you lost.
Yeah.
That should matter for something. I beat you, and if I beat you, then that should matter at the end of the day when we're being judged on wins and losses. And I test.
Well, where does Ole Miss fit in that?
I honestly think you have to put them above South Carolina as well.
I mean, that's the problem. Because that's the problem is when everybody's not playing everybody and you have as many teams as they have, there's always going to be that conversation. To me, if we want to make the head-to-head, then it makes no sense that Georgia's ranked behind Texas.
Well, yeah, but now the two-loss thing comes into effect now. Well, because you have won more games than the other, so therefore you're going to be ahead. That's the way it is in any sport.
I know, but you played a much harder schedule.
Well, let me say something.
It frustrates me.
If that's fine. But if Georgia goes out and handles business this weekend, which there's nothing that tells me they can't, they will be ahead of Texas. No, so you won't have to worry about
it. That's the beautiful thing about how this is locked up.
But it's like Ole Miss is 2-1 in their last three games with a win against Georgia, a loss against Florida, who is also one of the hotter teams in the country, and then a win against Miss State, whether you can throw that or not. But why are they 15? Why are they behind a Miami? Guess who's played a tougher schedule than Miami? Ole Miss.
Everybody.
Well, yes, but Ole Miss in particular is one. I think Iowa State might have played a tougher schedule than Miami, to be honest with you.
That's another conversation to have.
Well, things seem to be coming together for this Falcons defense, but how will they stack up against the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold? That's on the way here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.